The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "The Son of Man must suffer greatly, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Then he said to all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, pick up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is there for one to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit himself?" The Gospel of the Lord. Today's readings on the second day of Lent are about the choices we're called to make to the graces God gives us, that St. Paul implored us yesterday not to take in vain, not to be wasted. So many Lenten graces. This choice that we face is framed by Moses in today's reading, first reading. The Israelites were drawing to the end of their pilgrimage. Their pilgrimage wasn't 11 days as ours is. Their pilgrimage was 40 years. But they were getting right to the very end of it. He had led them from slavery in Egypt, accompanied them through the desert for 4 decades, and now they were on the opposite side of the Jordan from the Holy Land, their long-awaited destination, what would be their home. God had told Moses that he personally would die before crossing. So Moses, in today's first reading, was giving a sort of last will and testament, a summary of what God had done for them and taught them. As the long experience of their time in the desert had indelibly reminded them, God's actions, however, weren't enough. The 10 plagues weren't enough. The passing through the Red Sea on dry land wasn't enough. Manna coming down from heaven, quails, water from the rock, the theophanies in giving the 10 commandments, none of these was sufficient to keep many of the Jews faithful. Many of them complained. Others adored a golden calf. Even Aaron, the high priest, fell into the clutches of a wavering faith. So Moses wanted to urge them to choose, and to choose wisely. He framed the decision facing them as it truly was, a choice between life and death. "Today, I have set before you life and prosperity, death and doom. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I am enjoining on you today, loving Him, walking in His ways, continuing that pilgrimage all the way, keeping His commandments, statutes, and decrees, you will live and you will grow numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you're occupying. If, however, you turn away and your hearts won't listen, if you're led astray and adore and serve other gods, I tell you now, you will certainly perish. You will not have a long life in the land you're crossing the Jordan to enter and occupy. I call heaven and earth down today as a witness. I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Choose life then, that you and your descendants may live by loving the Lord your God, heeding His voice, and holding fast to Him." Moses again wanted to help them to continue that pilgrimage with the Lord, to learn from the mistakes of yesteryear how to live better in the years to come. He said, "Don't serve other gods," and the whole aspect of the Lenten penances we have are to crush our idols. One of our idols is materialism. We're just constantly acquiring and holding on to stuff, even though there's not going to be a U-Haul behind the hearse. And so what does the Lord ask of us? He asks us to start now giving our stuff away. That's what almsgiving is all about, giving what we hold precious away. including the gift of our life. A lot of the times we make our own will a god. We want to call the shots. That's one of the reasons why it's so important for us to subjugate our own appetites. And that's what fasting is, so that we can begin to fast for the Lord's will. A lot of the times we make this world a god. That's why the Lord wants us to enter into the other world, to, in a sense, leave this kingdom and go to where the kingdom is with the King in prayer. The three Lenten practices of prayer, fasting, and obedience are meant to help us to reorder our relationship with God, our relationship within ourselves, and our relationship with others, to crush whatever idols that are there, so that we may, in fact, love the Lord, heed His voice, hold fast to Him, and live. Moses reminded them that the choice for God is a life-giving choice. It's a choice full of blessing. And the choice against God, even if it might at first seem a choice that's going to lead us to happiness here on earth, is actually fatal. This is not something, of course, that most of the Jews had recognized. Throughout the desert, they complained that they had left their flesh pots in Egypt just to perish in the desert following the Lord. Have you brought us out here, Moses, just to die? Along the way, many times they thought that that choice for God was a choice of death. But it was a choice of life. And those who sought the counterfeit path of turning their hearts away from God, of refusing to listen, of adoring and serving other gods, never made it out of the desert. That's a choice that we all face in Lent. Lent, historically, as we mentioned in the baptistry right next door, is actually a catechumenate, a 40-day period of preparation for baptism at the Easter Vigil. Or for all of us who have already been baptized, it's a 40-day renewal of the meaning of our baptism. Like the Jews, we've been set free from the slavery of sin and death, passing through the waters of baptism just like the Jews passed through the Red Sea. We are presently in the desert with Jesus for these 40 days, looking with Him toward the eternal promised land that's anticipated in the celebration of Easter. It's a time for us to focus on the graces of our liberation and the choice God has proposed to our freedom between life-giving fidelity through loving Him, walking in His ways, and keeping His commandments, through heeding His voice and holding fast to Him, or the path that leads to death under the seduction, under the lie of bringing life. The contrast between these two paths, this fork in the road that faces us at the beginning of Lent, is highlighted in today's responsorial psalm, which is the first of all the psalms, and the one that in a sense orients our praying every psalm. It describes the blessed man who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night, as like a tree planted near running water that yields its fruit in due season and whose leaves never fade. He receives life and is able to give life from his contact with the living water of God. On the other hand, the wicked man, the one who follows the counsel of the wicked, who walks in the company in the way of sinners and sits in the company of the insolent, is like chaff that the wind drives away. There are no roots, no real substance, no life. The psalm says, the way of the wicked vanishes. That's the choice facing us as we begin Lent. It's the choice facing every Catholic. And it's the big choice of our life. In Lent, we go back to the basics. We start to say, what is the real orientation of my life? Is God really God in my life? Or is God just a part of my life? Where I've got all of these other things that I give more of my heart to, or more of my head, or more of my time. Is God really God of my life? The question, isn't it a no-brainer? Who, after all, would actually choose death over life? Anybody who does that, anybody commits suicide, we recognize that there's a psychological issue there. Well, but what about us? Would we ever choose death over life? It's like the choice, isn't it, between eating filet mignon and tree bark. But in the gospel, we see why that choice, though conceptually simple, is morally challenging. Jesus tells us that the path of life is paradoxically a path of self-denial. Just as he was going to suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed before being raised to unending life on the third day, he said, "So if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." He gets even more explicit about that paradox. "For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, that one will save it." In order to obtain life, in order to be saved by Christ the Savior, in whose basilica we're praying this Mass, we must, no option, we must die to ourselves. We need to lose our life for the sake of God and for His gospel in order to retain it. In the path between the cross and the comfy recliner, we think that the latter is the path of life, but it's actually the former. In the path between following Christ to Calvary or following the world to Club Med, we think that the latter is the path to happiness, but it's actually the former. The path of life doesn't seem to be life-giving, and the path of death, on the contrary, does. But that's what we have to grasp. There's a choice between forfeiting oneself to gain the whole world or forfeiting the whole world to gain oneself. This is why living a good Lent, living a holy Lent, is so important. Lent is meant to help us to make that choice for real life, to help us to walk in the footsteps of Christ, to plant ourselves, root ourselves in the living water in the midst of the desert, so that no matter how dry it is, no matter how hot it is, we may grow to eternity, have our leaves never fade. But we need to make the full and conscious choice for life, which requires the full and conscious choice to deny ourselves. "I do not know the man." Pick up our cross. And the cross isn't just an extra weighted bat in the on-deck circle. Cross is a means for our death. People carry crosses. They were like strapping themselves into an electric chair and turning on the current. That's what it meant. Cross is a gift to help us to die to ourselves, die to our ego, die to our will. Pick up that cross. The love of Christ proclaim until all the world proclaim the holy name. Pick up the cross like that. And it's then that we can follow Christ. The three Lenten practices, when we choose to live them generously, are all geared to do this. All teach us this self-denial. Fasting denies the dominion of our lower appetites. Almsgiving denies our selfishness, concentration. Prayer denies our egocentrism. Each, in a sense, is a cross that leads to our self-death, because at times, giving into our cravings, spending what we have on ourselves, and using our time for our own pursuits seem the path of life, but they're dead ends. And each helps us to follow Christ in His own fasting, giving of Himself to the point of death and prayer. For these to occur, however, we must choose bold resolutions that can help facilitate these spiritual fruits, rather than soft Lenten resolutions that, even if we keep them, won't really lead to the crucifixion to worldliness that's necessary in order to experience the life that Jesus wants to give us. Today, with Moses, Jesus, and the church, we've had placed before us this choice between life and death, between a blessing and a curse, between the fruitful tree and the chaff. To make the choice for life, we need faith, and God will give us that gift. Looking at Jesus on the cross, and remembering that that choice of love was paradoxically the most life-giving choice of all, can embolden us. Later on today, we'll sing my favorite Lenten hymn, that teaches us the lesson, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count for loss. Pour contempt on all my pride, all my riches I spurn compared to here. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the cross of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood. Were the whole realm of nature mine, were an offering far too small, for love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. That's the choice of life. Here, God the Father, St. John the Baptist, and St. John the Evangelist are all pointing downward to get us to behold that cross and the fruit of that tree which is about to come down from heaven to earth into my hands and into your body. As we prepare to receive those fruits of Jesus' losing His life to save us, to save our life in the Holy Eucharist, we ask Him for all the graces He knows we need to count the richest gains in the world but loss, to sacrifice our vain charms to His blood, and to give our soul, life, and all in the choice for life with Him who chose us first. Today we look at the eternal promised land at the end of our Lenten pilgrimage on earth. And God says, "Choose me, who out of love have chosen you." To Him be praise and glory and honor forever and ever. Amen.